Well, I trust everybody's been welcome this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. And we're going to begin this morning in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, if you would look in your scriptures with me. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and some of you know I have an advantage. They're on the wall back there. Amen. But trying to remind ourselves of some important truths. And today we come to one of the probably most argued about of the commandments as to how it applies for our day as opposed to the back when it was given to the nation of Israel. And we're going to consider some of those things. But the main point is, I believe, summarized in that first verse, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to gather here today in this comfortable place to consider thy words. Holy Spirit, guide our thoughts and our hearts that we might understand and obey the teaching that you give us this morning. Help me to explain it as best I can, Lord, and use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an illustration of the importance of remembering the Sabbath day in the life of a farmer many years ago in northwestern Nebraska. One Sunday morning, his neighbor came over to help him to get the new mown hay into the barn because he saw the clouds a-coming and had headed a rainstorm on the way. And he said, "Let's get your hay in the barn before the storm hits." And the man said, "Thank you for your kind offer, but this is Sunday and I'm going to take my family to church." He said, "But you'll lose your hay." Well, they went to church, and the rainstorm did spoil the hay. When he came back, the neighbor said, "See, I told you you'd lose your hay." He said, "Yes," he said, "I lost my hay, but I saved my family." And it's doubtful whether the neighbor really understood what he meant. But he had given an example to his family that in their life, worship of the Lord on the Lord's day was more important than the hay. And you know, it's a hard thing today in our society because there's so much opposition to this idea of keeping a special day for the Lord, because it has changed from the remembrance of the Lord's day to now it's just a holiday and the weekend. We're going to enjoy ourselves. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." See, it's a matter of living by faith. As Christians, we are called to live and to walk by faith, not by sight. The world will not understand that because they don't live by faith. They don't see things as we see them. They only see the outward appearance. But God's word teaches us that God is interested in our experience, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And he's able to make it up. Sad to say, so many people have this idea today that Sunday is our day to enjoy ourselves, just forget about everything else and enjoy life. Look over for a moment to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. I should have marked it. Oh, well, that gives you time to find it too. Amen. It says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, to feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." We see here this emphasis on obeying God rather than self. and giving God honor and glory in our life. Well, some would say that the Sabbath is for the Old Testament, and specifically that's true. But the principle is that one day is special. We're going to look at that in a moment. First of all, you notice as I read the text in Exodus, it says to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work. You know why some people don't have any special day for the Lord? They never work. And they don't have anything to rest from. But that's a little bit of a joke. But seriously, we have been given 6 days to do our labor. Why is that so important? Because God set a principle when he made the world. He created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them in 6 days. And he rested on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And he set aside this idea here by his example. He had not commanded them to keep it for a long time. For many years, I think it's about 2,500 years, we estimate, from the time of the beginning until the time God gave the law. But still, the matter is, he gave an example. And he said, this is a specific sign for the nation that I've called out of the world, Israel, to be a peculiar people in the earth unto God. So literally, the Sabbath day is on Saturday, and it is the responsibility of the Israelites to keep it holy. In fact, some of the scriptures describe, don't leave your house. Stay home all day. And don't do anything like you normally would. In fact, one place says, don't even start a fire. There was recently a fire you saw in the news. Some family lost their children because of a faulty electrical appliance. And someone of the commentators said it had to do with they weren't allowed to turn it off because they'd forgot to do it before, and now it had to stay on all day on the Sabbath. Now, obviously, I don't think that was the intent of the work, but you see the importance the nation of Israel put with it. And in the scripture I read you in chapter 58 of Isaiah, the Lord warned his people against changing the day of the Lord unto a day of enjoyment. Which is what we have today, isn't it? We have sports on the Lord's Day all the time. Not just once in a while. Almost every week. And then everything's open. Everybody's busy running to and fro. Well, I don't have time during the week. Well, that may be so. I don't know. But think of what example you are setting for yourself and others. The Lord gave us this idea of remembering that day to keep it different. And then you think about the work of God in the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God put man in the garden and gave him work to dress and to keep it. It wasn't a curse to work. It was a blessing. Well, what happened? After sin in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, it says, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. So there's a curse on man's labor now. But originally it wasn't supposed to be that way because of our sins. And we can enjoy our work for the Lord if we're doing it unto him. The Lord give us example in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we have a responsibility to go out and to work as God gives us the ability, the understanding, the opportunity. And then we are to use it for the Lord's work and to bless others. No longer depend on somebody else to take care of us, be able to help people. But then there's also commanded in our text here the matter of the special day for the Lord to keep it holy, to keep it special. By the way, the word holy does not mean only without sin, although it does mean that. It also means separated unto God. Holy is to be set aside for the Lord's work. That's why we often talk about the Lord's day We worship the Lord on Sunday because he rose on Sunday. We're going to be celebrating that more in detail next Lord's Day. But the importance to understand God set a plan and a precedent. There were times in the past when our forefathers honored that more than we do today. I've got some quotes here. Dwight Talmage, a preacher from long ago, said, "Our bodies are seven-day clocks, need to be wound up, and if they're not wound up, they'll run down into the grave." Isn't that true? Some people try to work 7 days a week. What are we to do on the Lord's Day? Something that refreshes and rests our body and worships the Lord. And then we're not under the bondage of the law, I know that, but yet God has given us this idea to remember him. The idea of the word Sabbath is a rest or cessation from labor. The example given, of course, I've already mentioned, is God made everything in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. So he gave us that example. And then we reflect upon the Lord and use the Lord's day a day of saying, "Thank you, God, and help me to guide my thoughts and my way of life to serve thee and to reach others." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you've heard this. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then Ephesians 5:20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, it takes some time to do that. We're so busy in our everyday lives, running back and forth, doing our business at the job, going home, taking care of other things that are required in our society, back and forth, go, go, go. Take some time to reflect and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your guidance." And of course, I always encourage us to read the Word of God and meditate on it, but the Lord's Day ought to be unique. More concentrated, perhaps. More in-depth, that we might get closer to him. We remember the work of God as explained in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Part of our responsibility in the Lord's people is to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That takes a while to teach them all things to obey. You know, we have limited the teaching in churches often to just a few things because we don't have time. Because many churches have cut it down to one service on the Lord's Day and with some songs and a little sermonette, and then go on home and enjoy the day. Well, we ought to concentrate on the Lord. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, do you think God needs to take time to help us to appreciate what we have? I read a little story years ago about a fellow moving in out in the country, and he had a neighbor that was of another group, more of the Quaker type of lifestyle, or Mennonite or something, I don't know, maybe he was Amish. But anyway, he came over and said, "I see they housed all these things. If thou findest thou hast need of anything, come see me, I'll teach thee how to live without it." Isn't that what we are today? We've all got so much stuff. We're busy trying to keep it all together. But we ought to think back and say, "Lord, thank you for what you've blessed me with. I am blessed more than I deserve." Amen. And I believe that. Every day I thank God for all he's given us. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we need to meditate upon. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You know, some people miss that point. We are enabled by God through faith to do everything he wants us to do. We can say no to sin. We can say yes to God. We can go out and live right in a wicked world. We can resist Satan. We can succeed because Christ strengthens us. And we ought to hold to that fact. And I'm telling you, you got to take some time and set aside, get your mind on the Lord and his provision, lest we be hoodwinked by the devil. And boy, the devil has more avenues of entrance into our minds and our hearts today than any time before in history. Some have said it's worse today than it ever was before. I don't say that, because it's been bad before. I mean, the days of Paul, the Roman emperors were wicked even more, if you can imagine, more than they are today. That they were doing the same things, this ISIS and stuff, in the Colosseum, and everybody's sitting around clapping and enjoying it and calling it gladiator games and such wickedness and terrible things. And yet, God reached the world through the gospel of Christ preached by Christians that spread out. I'm always convicted by that text in Acts where he says, "These who have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Have we turned the world upside down today? It seems like we're doing the opposite. They're coming against us. And yet I believe we're only seeing a part of the picture. I believe from heaven's viewpoint, God knows what he's doing because he gave us another promise. "I will build my church," Jesus said, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that's not an allusion to a fortress where we're inside and the devil's beating on the gates. It's an allusion to us as a mighty conquering army, the church of Jesus Christ, marching out against the forces of Satan and actually beating down the walls of hell itself, snatching sinners from the fire, if you will, through preaching of the gospel. We ought to be the mighty army of God through the spiritual warfare with the word of God and prayer and testimony changing the world. And I believe we need that time to come together to encourage one another. And then I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Many of you know it. "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we do it even more as we see the evil days come." We need to come together. What for? It says later in Hebrews that you provoke one another to love and to good works. We need to provoke one another to serve the Lord, to be good examples for the Lord. We need to build each other up. In Galatians chapter 6, it tells us, "Brother, if you see your brother taken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness and love, considering thy own self, lest thou also be tempted." We're to help people in this journey of life because it's a hard world. It's a wicked world. People have problems, and coming together in the Lord's house ought to be a positive thing to encourage us to serve the Lord together. The Lord tells us this matter of keeping the Sabbath, the holy day for the Lord, the Sabbath in the Old Testament and the Lord's day today. It's not a matter of earning our way to heaven. It's not legalism, but it is a determination by God's grace in our hearts that we choose to obey. One of the things that I have noticed how the world often mischaracterizes this whole idea of God's Ten Commandments is, "Oh, that's old-fashioned and narrow and strict, and you're trying to control people." God said, "This is the way, walk in it." God said, "The way of the transgressor is hard." If you don't obey God, you're going to have a harder life than if you just obey him, because it works better this way. Romans chapter 14, 5 through 8 says this: "One man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Now, that's an example there. I'm not trying to legislate things to control you, but I'm saying make a special effort to honor God. And why do we have Sunday rather than Saturday? I've said it already, because the Lord rose on the first day of the week. From the early days of the church in the book of Acts, you can see they met together on the Lord's day. And it became their habit and practice as they were thrown out of the synagogues where began preaching in the earlier times. Paul and Silas would go to a place and find a Jewish synagogue, not a temple. There's only one temple in Jerusalem. But the synagogues were places they would meet together to teach the word of God to the Jewish people. And they would come together, and Paul and Silas in those early days, the other ministers and missionaries would go out and preach Jesus Christ to them. Some believed, but many rejected and started to fight against them. And you know the story from the book of Acts and on through the history of the church, the persecutions began. And so the Jewish thing separated from the Christians. But not because they should have, because they wouldn't receive Christ as the promised Messiah. In sincerity, he is the fulfillment of the law. He is the one who loved God and gave himself for us that we might be saved. And now we honor him. In our nation, we have a history of reverence for the Lord, but we've slipped so far. I found these interesting in my study, some examples of the reverence for the Lord's Day in past. When the Mayflower reached Plymouth Harbor, it was Saturday afternoon. You can imagine how eager those pilgrims must have been to get on the land after they'd been in 13 weeks in the Atlantic. Homesickness, seasickness, weariness. Despite their longing to go ashore and make a new home, they spent Saturday afternoon in preparation for Sunday, then all day Sunday in worship. On Monday morning when they went, they'd been there for 42 hours. Now, if that had been an hour day, they'd have jumped off the boat and waded in the minute they got there, wouldn't they? No restraint. The Bible teaches us that we ought to honor the Lord's Day. He says, remember it. Another curious fact of history, I didn't know this till I read it. Zachary Taylor was president-elect, was scheduled, according to the Constitution, to take office on March the 4th, but he refused to be inaugurated because it was a Sunday. The politicians pleaded in vain for this very, very religious Taylor to change his mind. The Constitution forbade President James K. Polk from staying on one more day. There were no alternative but for the Senate to elect a president to serve from Sunday noon to Monday noon, the time scheduled for Taylor to take office. So they chose David Rice Acheson, the head of the Senate. But the last week of the Polk administration was so busy for him, he retired late Saturday evening after instructing the landlady not to waken him for any reason, and she obeyed his orders. He slept through Sunday and into Monday, past the 24-hour time limit. The startling truth, he slept through his entire term of office. Some of us wish some others would do that, amen? But you say, what? Because Taylor said, I'll not do it on the Lord's Day. Can you imagine a president saying that today? Honoring the Lord. There's other examples. One that really touched my heart, actually two here. One was by Voltaire, the great agnostic and enemy of the Lord's people. He said, I can never hope to destroy Christianity till I first destroy the Christian Sabbath. I'm not advocating that the Lord's Day replaces the Sabbath, but I know what he meant. He's trying to take away the reverence God's people had put on the Lord's Day. And then Gladstone, that great representative of England many years ago, said, tell me what the young men in England are doing on Sunday, and I'll tell you what the future of England will be. You know, we've turned it into a holiday rather than a holy day. Imagine the blessing God can give us if we would take time to be holy. Take time to reverence the Lord. Of course, you all have done that today, and I appreciate that. And I believe it encourages even more so as we go ahead. It renews our heart for the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Well, we don't usually do that, do we? But they were so excited to learn the word of God, to follow the Lord's leading in their life. And they had power from God on high. Do we have it? Some former leader years ago talked about the story in the book of Acts where the impotent man was begging for alms outside the temple. And Peter said, well, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. And the preacher said, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I none, but neither can it say, rise up and walk. We've lost some of that power, haven't we? We've been so busy with everything else. We need to put the Lord first. Colossians chapter 2, 15 and 16 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, of new moons or of the Sabbath days. It's not a matter of keeping the law of Moses, it's a matter of respecting the Lord. We need to be refreshed. We need to be encouraged to go forward and to serve the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Some people today, it seems like they just get sick on the Lord's Day. That old song that we sing sometimes, excuses. You know, a headache Sunday morning, a backache Sunday night, but on Monday morning, you're all feeling all right, you know. But we need to think the Lord's Day is important. If somebody said, well, I only miss once in a while, this will get you. Said, do you just sin once in a while? Do you steal once in a while? James chapter 2, verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, guilty of all. No, we want to encourage folks to be in the Lord's house as much as they can. It's a time to serve the Lord and be encouraged one another. And then we remember what he's done for us. You know, he died on Calvary for us. He paid that price, that awful price for us. And though we will specifically tune our attentions next week to the death and resurrection of our Lord and all the details there in the scripture, and of course Wednesday night as well in preparation, I believe the Lord should be good Wednesday or good Thursday rather than good Friday. But that's a whole other discussion. He said 3 days and three nights, and that's what I believe he did. But regardless, we remember he died for us, and he was buried, and he rose again that third day, and we celebrate that every time we come together. When we have the Lord's Supper, we remember what the Lord has done, and it challenges us to go forth in renewed strength to serve him. It says in verse 10 of our text, the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, or the stranger that's in thy gates. That always convicted me. I think about all the things we get busy doing on the Lord's day that requires other people to work. You know, well, they're going to work anyway, and that's true. Our society has conformed to that. Do you remember, some of you, when you couldn't go out on the Lord's Day? Because everybody was closed so people could go to church. Amen. Now we've turned it the other way, haven't we? We got it just the opposite. But we may not be able to change it in a moment, but I think we could determine, I want to make it a special day. A special day before me and the Lord. I, for many years, tried to make it a habit in my own personal life, not because I think it's a rule that everybody has to do, but just something I chose to do, and that's not to watch the television before I come to church. Not that it's any worse before I come than it is after, but I just say, keep that stuff out of my mind, to focus on the message, to focus on the Lord's house. Whatever you do, do it to the Lord, to honor him. And to separate ourselves from the world, the flesh, and the devil unto him. That's the whole idea of holiness. And as I referenced before, take time to be holy. It takes time to change our ways. It takes time to read the Bible. It takes time to pray and seek his face. It takes time to separate those old bad influences that's all around us during the week and say, put them in their proper priority in our heart and mind. Say, well, this, that was wrong. This is false. And get things sorted out in our heart and mind. And the Lord can do that with us if we'll let him. But how many of us are just so busy we don't take time? You know, and we preachers, a lot of us are busy too. And we need to take time to pray and to study the Word of God. You remember in the book of Acts when they needed some help concerning the serving of the tables? They were complaining the Greeks against the Hebrews. Some of them aren't getting as much of the help that they needed. And so they established, they took seven men of good report and they prayed and they laid their hands on them, gave them, said, it's not meet for us to leave the Word of God in prayer to serve tables. He said, there's something more important here. We have to set aside our time. Now, those pastors, those leaders then, were not full-time, quote, in those days. But they took the time they had to study and to pray and to prepare to minister for the Lord. They didn't busy themselves all the little details that somebody else could do. That's why I appreciate all the folks here in our church that take care of those things for us. Some clean and some serve in different ways in the Sunday school, and we're looking forward to the vacation Bible school coming up in the summertime with the young people in the back and other things. The nursery work's so important, taking care of the children on the Lord's Day and special events. They're all important, but the preacher can't do it all. I don't care how many of them you have in your church, they can't do it all. It's a group together. Finally, I want to remind us that the Lord has likened our congregations and our fellowship as to a body. And you have one head, that is Christ, and many members. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, if the whole head were the eye, where were the hearing? And so on. You need all the parts to make a complete body. Do you know what the problem many churches is? There are some parts that are hurting or missing. There are people that ought to be involved in serving the Lord and doing, using the gifts that God has given them and the Lord has led them to a place. And yet, for whatever reason, people get upset, or as Pastor Lynn used to say, they get up the miff tree and they don't serve the Lord. And it hurts the whole body. Just like when you stub your toe, it hurts your whole being. If you hit your finger, it hurts the whole thing. Oh, you know, just my finger, but it bothers all of you. It limits your effectiveness on all the other parts because we're connected. And that's what the Lord's Day ought to encourage, that fellowship and encouragement of the Lord every day. Finally, I close with this poem. It says, whatever else I ponder, wherever I may plod, I must remember in my heart this day belongs to God. This day is meant to honor him who understands my cares, who is not too occupied to listen to my prayers. And so I try to live my life according to his way, because I know that Sunday is his very special day. These 24 hours are the least I can give to say my thanks, because he has enabled me to live. And that's why when Sunday comes, I set the day apart and offer God the gratitude that fills my humble heart. Remember that Sabbath day, the Lord's day. As one writer said, Sunday is still a holy day. Let's stand together.